So we can just start talking. Hello, this is me, also known as Phil, and with me is Paradox and Recall.
Hello.
Hello.
You guys said it in unison. I like it. Can you guys sing?
Yeah, I can sing.
Just really.
Once okay. a year for Christmas.
Maybe another time.
It's been a while since we've had a show the last time.
When was the last time? Do you remember?
I don't remember, and that's a bad indicator.
I think it was maybe... Oh, shit. Maybe like 3 months? I don't know.
It's depressing to think about it.
Well, this is the Quake World scene where stuff happens. Like, there's a schedule for EQL, but that's about it. Everything else is spontaneous.
Yeah, well, the whole scene kind of went into hibernation. It just didn't stop. We were expecting some action right after Christmas, but nothing happened, really. And then all of a sudden, everything exploded. Pretty much just after the DEF CON 5 released his documentary, which got a lot of good feedback.
So, let's talk about that real quick. First of all, who is DEF CON 5? Can you guys clue me in?
It's a Quakeball player from Austria. Not Australia, but Austria here in Europe. And during the last QHLAN, him and his girlfriend came up to QHLAN. Nobody really knew what he was doing there, but he had all this equipment, cameras, and...
Question.
Yeah?
How hot is his girlfriend?
Was, I don't know.
You're supposed to say very hot. Very hot. No, I think she's pretty hot.
Yeah, she was
Very cute, at least.
Anyways, nice. I've been trolling. Let's keep going. So he brought all this equipment to QHLAN, like what? HD cameras?
HD cameras, tripods, his own lighting equipment, you know,
really?
Those slides where the camera, like really Steven Spielberg, you know, where you can slide the camera.
Yeah, it was proper pro professional stuff.
Yeah, and so everyone's like, what's he doing? What's he
video
doing?
Video student or something?
Nobody knew what he was doing, and he wouldn't really say anything, so we're like, what's up with this guy? And he's not playing Quake or anything. But we knew it was DEF CON, so we were wondering what he was doing there. So I'm not really sure what the video was for. Maybe it was some kind of a school project or a hobby, but it was some kind of, you know, special project he wanted to do. And I think he rented some of the equipment from somewhere in Austria as well. But it was pretty much the only thing he did when he was there, I think, just making that movie. But it was a lot of work, so...
Yeah, he did a great job.
Yeah.
Nice. So what do you guys think about the movie itself?
Well, it's the best movie for a long time, but it's different. It's not a frag movie. It's a real documentary.
Yeah, the best part was when Paradox hushed the little kid.
Everybody.
That was awesome.
You said like something like, can we get rid of this guy?
Yeah, how do we get rid of him?
Do you remember what you were doing during that? Like, were you playing an official game or a prac or what?
That was I think it was the 4-4 finals, actually.
Oh, wow. So that was some important shit going on.
Well, the whole QHLAN was kind of a weird experience the last time because we really was hoping that Fragmatics would field a team so we could have another epic series of games like we had the previous year against TVS, but Fragmatics kind of didn't field any players. And then there wasn't really any good teams. It was Sudden Death and Slackers, and that was pretty much it. So we decided to do our own little draft tournament. So
it was also Fagomatic.
Well, Fagomatic was one of the team names that they made up for the draft thing, so it had nothing to do with Fragomatics. So
no, that's entirely wrong. Like, Fagomatic was the team you faced in the actual 4-on-4 final.
What?
It was over the Votary, yeah. We beat Sudden Death in the semifinals.
Ah, so but it wasn't actually a Fragomatic lineup, it was just like random players.
Not Fragomatic, it was Fagomatic.
So who was the actual fags and who was the bench warmers that were not fags? In other words, who were the actual Fragomatic players that were playing on Fagomatic?
Recall.
Yeah, you had one player. That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's
it. Totally
cool. Yeah.
Paradox, when you were playing that 4-on-4 final, was there like lights, camera lights in your face or what? Or was it just like the kid and that's it?
Well, there was like 6 or 7 people behind me and they were mostly watching the kid playing and not me. But my teammates were screaming at me over voice, like, shut this kid up. And I'm looking over at all these guys like, oh, he's so cute, he's so cute. So I'm like, if I'm going to tell them to shut up and they're going to hit me.
But it has to be a draft game that you played.
Yeah, I think it was a draft finals, the draft 4-on-4 final thing.
So that was DEF CON's movie. I do suggest the listeners check it out. It's on ES Reality. You can see the link there. Let's move on to EQL. Because, of course, Recall's a busy man. We want to keep this a short show. But what's going on with EQL? We have, which EQL is it now? 15?
Yep.
15, yeah.
Do you guys remember when the first one was? Like, what year?
I didn't even play then.
But I can tell you that it was 2006. The end of 2006, November, was the Division 1 finals.
That was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I think that was the direct successor of NQR. But I don't know where we have the archives for that.
Didn't some NQRs and EQLs run simultaneously as well?
Yeah, because I think they had like some custom league NQR running alongside EQL normal season. So they had some special NQR tournaments as well. But I can't remember if they had separate admins or anything.
So what's going on with EQL 15? Has anything changed since EQL 14?
A lot. They changed the whole system. It was division. I think it's been division based pretty much ever since it started, and that was kind of the whole concept with EQL, to make divisions as a real league. So this is the first season where they jumbled up everything. So instead of having divisions where you have skill based seedings for all the teams, and you have like three to five divisions, now they simply took all the teams, and they divided them in two groups, and each group has equal skill. So you divide all the top teams and then half and half in each group, and then just like that.
And will the winners of each group play each other or not?
No, they made some system where they have gold, silver and bronze playoffs. So every team from all the groups will eventually go to the playoffs, and then they will match teams from the opposite group that are equally matched in a playoff situation. So the top from the group A will face the top of group B and so forth.
Interesting.
So that's kind of changed around. And you still got the winners, of course, that, you know, now that you're mixing up all the rape from the top teams to the bottom teams in the same group, you're going to have a lot of rape games. So it's going to be interesting to see how that's going to go.
Yeah, but at least if you play your games, you're getting in the playoffs with equally skilled teams anyways.
Yeah, plus you have to think that there's not that many Division 1 teams. And now if you take half of those, then there's like two good teams in each group that are really rape games. And there's like 12 teams in a group. So it's not that many games that they're going to be really tough. A lot of them are going to be pretty good games, I think.
Yeah, I can totally understand that one or two games are going to be quite boring for both the winning team and the losing team. But
it's been like that for all the seasons. I mean, top division 2 against bottom division 2 is also going to be a rape game. So
yeah.
Unless you make like 10 divisions with two teams in each division, you know, you're going to have some uneven games, and that's just the way it is. But at least they have something to look forward in the playoffs. So
yeah, so I would really encourage everyone to just play as much games as you can. If not for yourself, at least just take a hit for the scene. just get some games played and try to make the best out of it. And in the end, you're going to play equally skilled teams anyway, so...
Yeah, and if you want more games with equal teams, do a little more effort to, try and be a little more social with the teams, that are probably equal skilled, and then find some regular practice during the week, so you get a lot more games that are fun.
Yeah, I mean, everyone will just be happy if you actually prac versus more equally skilled teams as well. So.
Yeah, because I remember in the old days, the prac to official ratio was like 10 to 1. You know, you played a lot of practice games and then a few tournament games. And it's kind of the other way around now, that a lot of clans, they only play officials because that's where they're forced to play, and then they can't really seem to get their shit together when it comes to prac games. And there's been a lot of player rotations as well, because we're not going to see Fragomatics this season. And, you're a former Fragomatic player now, I guess. So, what's going on there? Where did all the people go?
We decided to split up. Like, we originally intended to sign up, but then it was a bit uncertain if Slackers were going to field a team and so forth. And, we didn't get many pracs last season at all, so we kind of decided that it might be best to split up. We also got a lot of whine from people claiming we were too good, or particularly that Martin and Milton perhaps played in team together. So, we basically decided to split up. Martin and Milton went on to create a new team with Squeeze and Gore called Paramedics.
Okay.
And I tried to get Laxap along to create another team with Watery and Overdose, but of principle, I don't think he wanted to split up the team like that.
Okay, so he wasn't really happy with splitting up the team, and if it couldn't be Fragomatics, then it couldn't be anything.
I think it was more like a principle for him. Like he thinks the best for the scene is just like to let the strong teams continue to be strong, and let the lesser team try to beat the stronger teams.
That was Blaze's perspective as well, because I know that he said a couple of seasons ago when people said, well, TVS should probably split up and make more strong Finnish teams, and he said, well, I don't care. If we don't get pracs, I mean, the scene just has to catch up with us, and that's just the way it is. And I mean, I can understand that perspective, and it's fine. I also want to have a competitive scene, also in the very top. But then it's your, I mean, then you have to take the consequences that you're probably not going to get any pracs, and you're probably will going to rape the whole scene in the official games as well. And if you think that's cool, then cool.
Yeah. So hey, any predictions who's going to win?
I think actually that maybe Paramedics will win in the end when they get their team play together.
Okay. I know there's been a poll up now on Quakeworld.nu, but not many votes has been casted, but the people are voting for Sudden Death, but I think that's more like a underdog vote thing.
You know, Sudden Death have many fans, like they're a really social gang, and they got many, many people sharing for them.
So yeah.
I think that also might be a factor. And I also think Sudden Death can win. They got the skills for it, but they need they always seem to switch their lineups. Like it's been like that for the last 3 years at least.
Yeah, that's true.
Always some different players in the lineups. So. But I think if they keep a stable base of at least three players, like I would say BPS and Carapace and perhaps Gristling,
Carapace is a relatively new addition, but from the very first game he played with them, he's one of their best players.
Yeah.
And I think the last season they really made a strong push to try and win the season. And they played a lot of games, they had a lot of practice, and they did do fairly well in the officials, but they just couldn't couldn't pull through in the end. And I think now that the guy Frenick is a really good fit for them, he's been playing really good with them. And they've been
Frenick
dragging a lot as well.
Frenick is certainly a very skilled player that could perhaps do a trick for them. He seems to he seems very inconsistent though.
Yeah, but I think this is the first team for Frenick in Division 1 where he has a chance to make a difference in the very top. So far he's been kind of reserved for, you know, the mid Division 1 teams, and maybe he wasn't that motivated for the whole season. But I think now he's not going to quit during the season or anything like that, because it's now it's his time to really play with the best.
Yeah, let's hope so. So maybe if they make a stable team of those four players, and I mean, they got lots of other great players as well, like Racer and Molecule, I think.
Molecule. Mave is one of their best players.
Yeah, I think so as well. He's like really clever. I think his dual experience actually helped him.
Yeah, for sure.
Let me ask you this, Recall.
Yeah.
So, Fragomatics split into Chosen and Paramedics, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, you're on Chosen, right?
Yeah, that's
so correct. What's your strategy if you're going to play Paramedics?
I'm not sure if I got a particular strategy against Paramedics.
Let me paint a picture for you.
Yeah?
You're playing TM3.
Okay.
Milton is running quad. Squeeze.
Always with the same question.
Has red armor on
every show.
And then Bala and Gore are just like raping you. What do you do?
Take it like a man.
Yeah, just bend over and
You send all the minions and the frag cutter around you, shoot away to SMG.
Generally interested. Like, what happens at the high level of a 4-4 when all of a sudden, you know, luck or whatever, they have a map lock against you? Like, what do you do?
Well, if they got a map lock, it's usually over. I mean, you probably have made some mistakes already then that might be irreversible. So if you're already at that stage that every enemy got weapons and they run every quad and stuff, it's probably game over on that map anyways. So you probably got to make the change before that actually happens.
You were saying something? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I said never give up, never surrender.
Yeah, you should never surrender. I mean, 4-on-4 is mostly about item timing, like being on the right spots and get your shit together as a team. So basically, if they are running quads and got red under control, like your only option is to go for yellow and armors. Like an enemy with weapon at yellow will always be easier to kill, I mean, than an enemy at red. So just flood the, always keep pressure up and flood the weapons when they spawn, and try to push the yellow before it spawns for the enemy that's holding it.
I thought it was quite interesting that both you, Volery and Overdose, the two brothers, moved to Chosen. I've seen Chosen as a pretty solid team, and they're always playing every season. They have a lot of players, and now they're adding three Division 1 players. Aren't you taking a lot of spots from all the others in Chosen?
I think that Chosen only originally had like two players that were gonna play quite regularly, anyways. Horatio and Hage.
Okay.
So even though we have lots of players in the roster, I don't think that many of us are going to be active. Now we added Ryu as well. So, and I think he's quite eager to play. So.
Because in one fell swoop, I mean, you just turned a mid Division 2 team into a mid Division 1 team.
Well, originally we wanted to create a new team, like Over the Rotary and I, and we asked around for a couple of days. We didn't have much time though, because was only like 3 days before the deadline for signups that the Fragomatic decided to split up.
Yeah.
So we tried to search for some players to our roster, but we didn't get much response at all. So we just decided to merge with Chosen.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So because Chosen lacked some active and motivated players and we wanted to play, so even though we're quite aware that we probably want to win the season, we're at least going to get some games in and probably some fun games.
Yeah, the question is if you're going to end up in the gold or silver playoffs.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure how many teams it is from each group that goes to the various playoffs. I think it's only top three from each group that goes to the gold playoffs.
Yeah, it is. I must admit I'm going to be a bit disappointed if we don't reach the gold, but...
That's going to be pretty tough or what? I mean, Sudden Death and Paramedics are self-ridden.
Yeah, pretty much.
So who is there else? Spaceballs? No. That's, we're not going to go on. We got Osams? No. Machinery? No. Well, there's not that many good teams left, I guess. Yeah, you should be able to take the
yeah, you got like
there.
Fraggers United might be a challenge.
Oh, I see Circle was signed up with Inkar. I saw him and Darklord playing 2-on-2 yesterday.
Yeah,
so amazing that they're still that good.
They played versus Cute, and DM2 was right.
Yeah, that was an EQL game, but Circle wasn't playing there.
So anyway, that's all EQL. We can probably talk about it for hours.
Yeah.
It's not even started yet. Just one game has been played, so it's going to be interesting. But what's even more interesting is Thunderdome, I think. And Paradox, before we started, you were telling me that you really like the design and you know how beautiful it is and how easy it is on the eyes. So why don't you tell me more about that?
No, I've decided not to mention the design because, you know, people doesn't even need to hear about it. They'll see it when they get there. I think what we should focus on is how did it get so many players? I mean, it's been pretty hard for 1-on-1 tournaments lately to get a lot of signups, but this tournament, like, flies to shit. I mean, there's just signups everywhere. I know it's some exposure on ES Reality. I don't know if you put it out anywhere else.
I think it's mostly VVD.
Yeah,
it's
definitely VVD. Basically, when Ignition started, they split it up into two divisions.
What is Ignition?
So Ignition, the rookie tournament, but they had a lot of signups, so they decided to split it up, and they made an advanced rookie division so that really new players wouldn't get discouraged, and they would have better games.
Okay.
Than like somebody coming from Quake 3. He wouldn't be a rookie to Quake, but he'd be like general FPS, but he would be a rookie to Quake World. But he would still have, basic skills there.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that was the idea for Ignition. And then VVD comes to me on IRC and he's like, why don't we do this for, all the way up to Division Zero, so to speak, basically the elite of the elite. And so this is the result. And he's actually... So I'm hosting it, but he's actually done most of the work recruiting people and setting up the rules and all this stuff.
Okay, so basically it's like the EQL concept with the divisions that you just seed the players and then...
Sort of. I don't know if we're going to have like matches between divisions. Because again, divisions and EQL, they're equal skill, right?
Well, I mean, not this particular season because this season is kind of special, but all the previous seasons where they just have, they just seed every team from bottom to top and then they just cut, three groups or five groups or whatever and then let them play against each other. But this is like a single elimination tournament, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
it's like that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be double elimination for Thunderdome.
Okay.
And the idea behind that is that just people get more time to play because it's going to be... Well, what is it going to be, like quarterfinals straight away, or maybe round of 32?
Well, we know they're going to play catch-up in loser's brackets, as always.
So basically, if you do single elimination, then somebody might get knocked out, and that's it. But with double elimination, you at least get two games in.
Yeah, that's why I always advocated that we do group stages instead of double elimination. So the group stages is like five players or four players or something. Everybody play each other, and then you seed the groups to the next stage. That would be better, in my opinion. Then at least every player gets like five games or something, and not the next two.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you still recording, Paradox?
Sorry?
Are you still recording?
Yeah, I'm recording. I think so. Yep.
Fucking XSplit. I'm going to restart it, because it's being a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
It froze when I was scrolling to Thunderdome. I think it doesn't like the design, unlike you.
I'm surprised.
Fucking, I open Thunderdome and it just freezes. Let me just restart it real quick.
So I'm looking here at the... Oh, you gotta play Loctar. Versus Maga.
You're playing MM.
Yeah, that's the Thunderdome tournament.
Who are you? Who's playing Loctar and what?
I was looking at the Bismillah tournament.
Aha.
So is your shit up and running again?
Yeah, but it's telling me buy your XSplit license now. You know what? I would if it didn't crash on me.
Maybe it's crashing because you haven't paid for it.
Yeah, but come on. All right, I think I'm back online. Sorry about that, guys. I guess it just doesn't like the design. But yeah, back to Thunderdome.
Well, we're obviously missing Milton, and on a side note, he's also missing from Bismillah. Is he tired of dominating the one-on-one scene, or what's up?
Well, he says that that is too nerve-wracking. Like, is that true, Recall?
I guess. I mean, it's quite restraining to play like duels at a high level. You always got to be focused. But I'm really disappointed that he doesn't want to play tournaments, because, I mean, why does he even have such a high star when he doesn't even sign up for tournaments? I mean, okay, he plays some random duels here and there, and usually rape whoever he plays. But I mean, people play different in casual games than in tournament games. At least most of the good ones does. So I would be really curious to see how he does versus. Well, I would be really happy to play him in a dual game again. To see how I would do.
Okay. When you last played him, do you think you improved since then?
I've improved a lot since QHLAN 14.
Okay.
How much? Like, give me an estimate in terms of a number of what? LG percentage, frags, what?
I'm just I'm better tactical and better aim.
Aha.
So who have you been playing against, like who have you been sparring with since that time to kind of measure your own progression? I mean, you're not going to notice how much you've improved by raping some, you know, mid-stake players. So you must have played against a couple of good players since then where you can really measure yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you got most of the other big shots like Loctar at last QHLAN and Avenger in the one day. Bismillah season 1 and BPS in numerous tournaments as well, and I really feel I
remember again. I saw that game with Avenger. That was a kind of an interesting game, because Dirtbox, who moved from Australia to Europe, and he's now starting these tournaments, and his idea was to do short tournaments and then a lot of them, and the season 1 he did was the last one. Let's see if I can find the season. But you played the finals against Avenger?
Yeah, both the winner's bracket final and the grand final. It was a double elimination.
Okay. There was a little bit of drama there as well, I remember. But it was a really interesting game because... And he, you know, you never see Avenger play. He always comes out of nowhere, having played for a couple of years, and goes in and always performs really well.
Yeah, I mean, Avenger is... It's extremely good tactical, but he sometimes he's thinking a bit too much, much in my opinion. A bit too careful at times. Like sometimes it's actually worth risking dying if you got a better odds of killing the enemy than the enemy got of killing you.
Yeah. So it's only this season of Bismilla, also a short one. It's only 8 players signed up. Is this a invitational tournament, or is it anyone can sign, or why is there so few players?
This one, it was originally 20 players, but then we had a group stage, and only the 4 best players in each group went on.
Okay, so it's like a seeding stage here. Okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
And I see that we reached the semifinals there. You're facing Loctar, and Lack is facing TVS Maga.
Yeah, have Loctar played.
So you were supposed to play these two semifinals yesterday or something?
Yeah, on Sunday they were supposed to be played, all of them, but only half the players showed up, so it didn't happen.
Okay, that's a shame. Well, hopefully they can resolve that and then get the last games played, and we can get a nice finals as well. Perhaps even stream it or something. Do some commentary.
Yeah, perhaps.
Have you seen my stream, Recall?
Yeah, I've seen it a couple of times. Didn't you stream the last Bismilla tournament as well?
Well, since then I've made some improvements to the quality.
Ah, okay. I haven't seen it since then.
Tactical improvements?
Yeah, man. And my aim has improved too.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw you were spamming like, this is Quakefield's twitch.tv stream number 62 or something. Like, well, what happened to the 61 first ones? I didn't notice those.
Well, actually, I lost a couple of them on Twitch TV because they like to delete stuff without telling you.
Okay, maybe they were offensive.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe watching me play Quake is pretty offensive.
They're like the Jesus sign on DM2, they didn't like that.
No, but the 61 number, that's just because I've been doing it for a couple of years now. Like, I do it, like, sometimes I'll do it one time in 2 months. So. But no, the stream itself, that 61 thing is the live commentary. But then separate from that is a stream where I can just stream events like on own TV or Twitch TV.
Okay, but I've seen you've done a couple of like educational commentaries, like live commentary on your own game while you're playing against somebody. Then you're going to commentate the game while you're playing, which is pretty hard, actually.
Yeah, that whole thing, that's the live streaming. And that's just like, you know, to get people to be comfortable about how duels are being played. Because I think it's true that duels is like the most stressful you can get in any kind of video game.
Have you gotten any feedback from the players you've played against in those streams? Have they come back to you and said, oh, it's pretty cool that I was in the video and I liked your thoughts on the strategy and stuff like that?
Well, I don't get anything like deep, insightful like that. But yeah, I mean, most of it is positive. I mean, in fact, I think all of it is positive. I haven't heard anything negative yet.
Okay, but have they told you like, oh, I learned something new, or that was interesting, I'm going to practice that or something?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's cool. Positive impact.
Yeah, it's the little things. That's why I like to ask the basic things of really good players, because what's really basic to them, it could be really insightful to someone like me.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like we talked earlier about how to, you have a map lock on ZM3, yeah, sure, you're probably dead. But, you know, step one is maybe attack yellow armor, because, of course, the yellow armor is easier to attack or harder to defend than the red armor. You know, little things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's also why, you know, I like to, if I have to help a player, I want to watch the whole demo and I want to comment on pretty much every bad thing he does. So he knows in every situation, I mean, how to think about the game.
Well, the other thing I do besides live commentary is like this quote-unquote coaching. And all it is just you play to the first frag on a dual map.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that if you can get the first frag, then you can get any other frag. And so, you know, you spawn and you have to know where to go after every spawn. And then you have to know how to, like, if you have a bad spawn, how to get the map control back before you die, and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's pretty useful.
So then you stop the game after the first frag or what, and then analyze it?
Yeah,
or?
Just break it and just go real quick on Skype or something. What went wrong, what went right, and so forth.
Okay, that's nice. Kind of the same idea we had when we did the... We had some experiments with the short rounds last season, I think, or last year at least, in 4-4, where we only play 7 minutes. So we don't get possible rate games, and it's also possible to play with lesser good teams, because you won't really get that big of a map log after 7 minutes, or at least you won't take big advantage of it. So then you just learn how to play the starts, get the first penta, and then a couple of minutes after, and then you break, and then you start over again.
Maybe like play until the end of the second quad, because if you can secure like multiple quads on a map, I feel like that's a victory.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you can as a team work towards that, like on DM3, if you know how to work towards the second rocket launcher and after that the second quad, right?
Well, at least DM3, the penta is so integral part of the map that you want to at least include one penta. That's why the 7 minutes.
That's a good point.
And also the second quad, usually you have both other weapons spawning at the same time, so it might not always be the best thing to like have four players going for the second quad at all.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to sacrifice
that's
every
That's a good
form.
Point. And that's something that some people might not think about.
Well, the thing is, you have to know like, where the opponents are, and at the second quad, you know pretty much that all the opponents will be at the quad area. That means the rest of the map is open, so you got to take advantage of that, and then pick up as much resources as you can, and then try and hide from the second quad, who probably doesn't have all that much. You can have like an R or an SMG or something.
Like, for example, if you're the only weapon on the map, you probably don't need more than one teammate to back you up at quad, maybe not even that, for the second quad. And then you could have two or three other teammates pressuring the weapons instead. Then you would have much better control than having four people on the quad.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you have the first rocket launcher, or if you have a rocket launcher at quad, you can be pretty sure that the enemy knows that you have a rocket launcher at the quad, so they won't just flood you for free frags, because they're not going to get the quad. So they're going to spend their time trying to get the weapons, because you can't be two places at once, and you have to be at the quad. So.
I'm such a noob. I always thought like it's always good to show like a show of force of four people at quad every time, but obviously that's not the case.
Nope. It's kind of the same on DM2 as well. If you can't make a push for the quad, and you think you have a good chance of doing it successfully, it's better to just back off and bunker up at low and spam the quad away, trap him or do something. But it's usually a bad idea to sacrifice your one or two rocket launchers if they have a total lockdown on quad area. You're not gonna get in, or you're gonna die trying.
Yeah, like in mixes, I always try to get the quad, no matter what. I just rush in and try to get it.
Well, in mixed games, it's probably you that's going to make or break the day.
Yeah, but I always got to try. But I play kind of different in mixes than in actual team play games.
So do you feel like your 4-4 has improved? Because you're usually a dual player, like Loktar is. But I think you've now improved your 4-4. Is that true, Recall?
I consider myself a dual player. Like 4-4 was mostly a curiosity, like I just played on the side. But eventually I think it's both duels and 4-4 got each their own qualities.
In terms of percentage, like a duel versus 4-4, how important would you say aim is in a duel, and how important is aim in a 4-4?
Well, it's much more important in duels, at least, like relative to 4-4.
Yeah.
Perhaps 70%. I don't know.
Yeah, that's something I've discovered. Aim is just so important on duels, but on 4-4, like you can mess up with the aim, but as long as you're there in the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about resource management and area control. And if you know where to stand, it's not that hard to point your crosshair on the ground and shoot the same place. You know, if you stand in the right angle and you shoot the right place, it's pretty much impossible for the enemy to come in without getting serious damage.
Can you do, like, with a good team, can you set up a map lock and then have all four players disconnect their mouse and still win?
No, of course not.
Like, just have it, just point them at like the spawn spots and the exits and just spam.
That's
well, you could probably to some extent like just use strafing to aim at the enemy, but I mean, it's not that easy to map lock something that you could just stand still at the same spot for 15 minutes. It's not that easy.
Okay, so Paradox is exaggerating there a little bit.
Well, no, I mean, like if you have area control in 4 and 4, you can position yourself that it's pretty much impossible for the enemy to attack there. It doesn't mean that you're not giving up other areas of the map. I mean, you can control your own domain pretty hard, but then you're going to leave, you know, you're going to give up some other areas. Like if you control yellow really hard, then you're going to give up the shaft and the rocket launcher and the penta area. But I mean, you don't need great aim to guard that area. But you're still going to need to make frags, so eventually you're going to have to come out of your shell and then, you know, be a little creative.
Are you playing on the EQL, by the way, Paradox?
Yeah, I'm playing. We were pretty late on deciding what to do because we've been very inactive the last, 3 months. Well, since QH land, pretty much. Striker moved country and Dark has been busy and Murdoch has been offline for a couple of months. So we weren't really sure if we were going to field the team or what we were going to do.
How come Ancarl is in another team?
Well, TKS kind of stopped playing. I know Maltas migrated from TKS to Crazy88. Good addition for their team, by the way. I think they're going to play more games now. So, and Ancarl, he made a team with his real-life friends, much like Fixed It, the Finnish top player. He made also a move to some Division 3 team with some really donkey players, but he had some fun there in Division 3. Thinking Carl did the same move with some real life friends. Some new players to Quake World. So he's.
Alright, I think that's there. Almost 30 minutes there now.
Yeah,
maybe
probably,
more.
Probably more. But yeah.
I think we should all start playing some mixes now and stop talking.
Yep.
So guys, thanks a lot for your time.
Yep.
I'm gonna pause this on this reality.
Hope we can follow up next week and see the progress in the tournaments and maybe see a finalization on the Bismillah tournament.
Yeah. If not next week, sometime in the future, we'll continue these pings from the Quake world. All right, guys.
Yeah.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.